This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Matt Wolf. We're going to talk today about a report Matt had seen in Bloomberg about endowments, big endowments, seeing their ultimate number go in the wrong direction because of revaluations by private equity funds. Matt, give us a sense of what you're seeing out there, what you're hearing about private equity, you know, private equity now for their endowment funds, for their, you know, big investors, their pensions, has to revalue the portfolio all the time, it seems like. At least one of the private equity funds we're involved with does it annually, and they've got to do that for their investors. And it's sort of a guesstimate. It's put values on the individual companies they own. But what are you seeing now in this area?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Scott. Happy to talk about this. And it's, you know, something I'm involved into, and the evaluation of these private equity marks. And what we've heard from LPs now for months, both public statements and some private comments, have been, you know, we get that marking these investments at fair value is difficult. You know, there's judgment that's involved, right? They're not publicly traded. That's why we're investing in them. But we're not going to believe this story unless we see some markdowns, right? Given the economic conditions, it's just that has to happen. And you know, in the past few years, it had generally been, you know, if an investment was performing well, it would see increases in its valuation. Most times that generally lined up with the overall exit, and everything was fabulous, and LPs were happy, sponsors were happy, portcos were happy. But, you know, we have started to see markdowns, right? Publicly traded firms and funds have announced markdowns. Probably the biggest one, Tiger Global, announced their main fund. They marked down the value by about half. So, you know, this environment, the capital market environment that we've seen in the public markets has definitely spilled into the private equity markets. And that can have a big impact on, endowments, other sorts of investments. And the article that you'd mentioned showed, you know, some of the largest schools, college endowments that we've all heard about, some allocated as much as the endowment, as much as 40%, 42% to private equity. And, you know, they're not immune from the market downturn.
Well, and that's fascinating. And the growth in sort of investing in private equity, even places more recently, CalPERS has increased their stake in private equity, but it's a numerator that's out of a smaller denominator because their entire valuation of their pension fund is down. But Yale famously got ahead of most parties by being an early investor in private and alternative assets compared to the public markets and so forth. And vast amounts have been written about David Swensen and pioneering portfolio management there. The marking down, the marking up, this is a fascinating game by private equity funds because they're trying to mark. I mean, it's art and science. And when you're not actually going to market, it's very much art and science versus clarity of market clearing through an auction. But the private equity ones seem to me to have to mark the price at a price that is, they don't want to mark it above what they ultimately could sell it for, because then when they sell it, their investors or LPs are disappointed that it's not beaten what they expected. So there's this concept of not wanting to overvalue it, and at the same time, they don't want to undervalue it because they want to show their investors things are going okay to instill confidence and so forth. I mean, so it strikes me that there's as much art and science in this as there is in any kind of other valuation, because in so many other valuations, there's a buyer and a seller. Here, it's an internal valuation, and it's got to be rational enough that the investors don't balk at it. And we've seen big markdowns in the venture capital sector, but particularly where there's a new investor coming in. Because then there's a real pricing that has to go on, a real buyer, you know, real two sides to the equation. What is the art and science of this when it's really an internal dialogue? And, you know, how much can you share with us about how private equity funds sort of view that and work through that process?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, without getting into the specific methodology of any firm or sponsor, I mean, they generally look at it in the same way, which is, all right, we bought this company, 6 months ago or 8 months ago, whatever it was. You know, some firms will mark it at least internally every quarter. They might only report it to investors every year, but they'll start with that initial investment and say, all right, we bought this company 10 times EBITDA for an enterprise value of $300 million. And since investment, we've beat expectations, we've beat the projections, and overall market multiples have increased a little bit, we're going to keep our multiple at 10 times EBITDA. But now, because of outperformance, that enterprise value has increased to $330 million or something like that. That's generally how they look at it, would be, okay, what was the multiple at which we invested? How has the company done since then? And what has happened with market multiples? And if the company outperforms well enough, they might even say, okay, well, we're going to, we've tucked in some additional deals. We've kind of hit that next level of size. Now we're going to increase the multiple to 10 and a half times or 11 times and apply that to the new EBITDA. That's generally the thought process, really anchored onto what that initial investment is. And that's, in kind of the PE buyout space is generally how they mark that. You mentioned venture capital, right? They're looking at what was that last financing round. And historically, having a down round where you have your Series C that implies a lower valuation than your Series B was often a death knell for a startup company. And we've seen a lot of them lately. I think a lot of these companies are going to recover from that, but that was also once a black mark in the space. But again, generally venture capital, they're going to mark that based on their latest financing round. Buyout, they're going to kind of calibrate to that initial investment.
It really is fascinating, and it really is. And at the end of the day, they want to mark these so that when they actually do go to market, the investors have confidence that they've been marking them relatively accurately, not perfectly, but relatively accurately. But it really is, exactly as you said, what are multiples today, what's EBITDA today compared to when they invested and so forth, and just trying to hit it as close to right as possible. But what a fascinating environment. And you do see the deal market was obviously incredibly hot last year. It's come back a lot now the second quarter of this year, notwithstanding all the noise out there. One of the great advantages private equity funds used to have compared to the public markets is they didn't have to go through this exercise. So they weren't constantly revaluing their assets, and so there was less of this. It was easier to show, oh, we didn't have such a down year when the market had a down year. You're in a more safe place with private equity than you think you are because we're not constantly valuing it, and then we could wait and time our exits to get out at the right time, and could take advantage of that. Where public trading, you can't do that. And now with the advent of bigger and bigger private equity funds, bigger and bigger investors, they are more and more required to constantly sort of mark to market. So there's less of this ability to sort of game timing to try and show better results, it seems.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair statement, right? I mean, and this mark to market, a lot of people scoff at it because, like you mentioned, there's a lot of kind of art to it. I would call maybe judgment or experience, and I think that's all true. What I would caution your listeners to is when you're looking at these valuations or thinking about a private mark, accuracy is not really possible, right? I mean, we won't know what the actual value of something is until you sell it. So focus on the credibility, right? So does the story of that valuation make sense, right? Because as you mentioned, Scott, I mean, there's no market for these things. You won't know what it is worth until you sell it. And in the interim, it's really difficult to ascertain that. But does the valuation story make sense? Does it make sense that the value increased relative to the comps or the overall market condition? And that's where I think a lot of the LPs are coming in at is and say, no, look, you can't sell me the same swan song as you did before, that the values are increasing. We expect to see some markdowns. And we have seen that. I'll throw a data point at you. Thomson Reuters has a PE buyout index that I follow fairly closely. And it's pretty good, right? I mean, as good as it can be for a private asset class like this. And year to date, it's down 50%. We've seen a little bit of a bump the last couple of days, but 50% down year to date, much more than the S&P, down about 28.5%, even more than the Russell, which is about 32%. You know, still, if you look kind of since the global financial crisis, private equity, including kind of public exits and some of these private marks, still outperforming the public markets, but it's been a really difficult 6 months, and a lot of that has to do with some of these mark-to-market private markdowns that the LPs and others have just been saying for months that they expect to see.
That is actually a fascinating stat. And again, I love your point on marking to market. It's not so much is it perfect, but is it directionally accurate so people get a sense that they're being treated honestly by their private equity fund? Is it rationally correct, directionally correct? And it's never going to be perfect. I love that. Matt, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Always great to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.